Joshua chapter 19, towards the end of the chapter in verse 49, we read, when they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme this evening is, Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. These are the words of Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23. The Lord magnifies his word above all his name, that is to say, of all that by which God displays his glory, his word excels even the general revelation in the creation, the works of creation and providence. God, above all else, makes himself known in his word. Our God, that cannot lie, will never break his word. First of all then, faithful in judgment. Faithful in judgment. The first 9 verses. We now here embark on the division of the land among the remaining tribes, after the 2.5 tribes settled on the east side of Jordan, and then the rest of Joseph, that is Ephraim and half the tribe of Manasseh settled on the west. We now move on here in this chapter to the remaining tribes. And this chapter should not be seen, as the liberal scholars would have it, as something that was written much later, and then, as it were, put in the text. They argue that the degree of detail must mean it was written later. This we absolutely reject, because we believe it's the word of God, and this error is fairly easily exposed as the description of the apportionment of land includes some territory that later on was never actually conquered. But the whole land was apportioned to the tribes as their inheritance, and they were to take it. But because Israel was sinful, they didn't take all that was allotted to them. For example, in verse 28, we're told that Asher was given Sidon. In verse 43, that Dan took Ekron. But it seems that they never entered into these particular parts of the appointed inheritance. But that was what was allotted to them. And what we have here is the allotment, the record of the allotment, written down soon after the event. And it begins with Simeon, not because of special honor, but because Simeon was destined to be more or less absorbed by Judah. You remember, we've had Judah already mentioned previously, in the previous chapter. And Simeon was given some cities within what had already been given to Judah. That Judah was willing to forego what was superfluous to requirements was certainly commendable, looking not just upon their own things, but the things of others. But still, this appointment of Simeon to take these cities in the territory of Judah was an outworking of the promise of God. Genesis 49 and verse 5 to 7. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honour, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Simeon and Levi had deceived and then slaughtered the Shechemites. And the Lord revealed through Jacob that these tribes, the tribes springing from them, would be scattered in Israel. In his sovereignty, Levi's scattering was by way of great privilege of the priesthood. The Lord fulfilled his word, but in a most gracious way. And so Levi was scattered in Israel by becoming the appointed priesthood, whereas Simeon was scattered without such privilege. The Lord exercised his sovereign prerogative in these things. Simeon was rendered obscure by absorption, or at least dispersion, to several cities already allotted to the territory of Judah, but Judah had more territory than was necessary. And so the Lord fulfilled his word, negatively speaking. He fulfilled it in the case of Levi, but in the case of Simeon, he did so negatively, and he dispersed Simeon. So the Lord is faithful even in his pronouncements of judgment. He will fulfill all his word, and his threatenings of judgment are as sure as his promises of mercy. Secondly, faithful in diverse circumstances. Faithful in diverse circumstances. We take in here verse 10, right down to verse 48. We have Zebulun in verse 10 to 16. It begins, and the third lot came up for the children of Zebulun according to their families, and the border of their inheritance was unto Sarid, and their border went up toward the sea, and Maralah, and reached to Dabasheth, and reached to the river that is before Jokneam. In Genesis 49 and verse 13, Jacob, by the Spirit of God, had prophesied concerning Zebulun. Genesis 49 and verse 13. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. So they were to be a seafaring, trading people, and many harbours. And here this is being fulfilled as they are allotted their land next to what that led toward the sea. Issachar, on the other hand, in verse 17 to verse 23, is given land from which they would contentedly satisfy themselves. Verse 18, and their border was toward Jezreel and Chesuloth and Shunem and so on. And in Genesis 49, verse 14 and 15, Issachar is a strong ass crouching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant. And he bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. This indicates Issachar's contentment, readiness to simply stay at home and enjoy the produce of their own land, and not being adventurous or particularly outstanding. Asher, in verse 24 to 31, is given territory from Mount Carmel in the south to Zidon in the north, from the Mediterranean in the west to the slopes of the Galilean hills in the east. And apparently they were very fertile for corn. And this is in accordance with Genesis 49, verse 20. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. The chapter goes on then to deal with Naphtali, with Dan. Apparently the promises of Jacob to these tribes were more to do with what they would do than with the type of territory that would be allotted to them. But all this shows God's faithfulness. It shows that God was fulfilling his word, bringing them into the appointed inheritance, and even bringing distinct tribes into distinct inheritance according to his own word, so that Zebulun was by the sea, and so on. All this shows God's faithfulness, but it also shows that the Lord has determined our lot, even though not revealed as it was to these tribes, not revealed in advance, but the Lord appoints our lot in this world and in that which is to come. So that even in the variableness, the variables of experience among God's people in this world, the circumstances, the times that pass over us, these are all ordained of God. And that's why he could reveal them in advance concerning these tribes. But though not revealed to us, they are no less ordained and sure in the hand of God. So the Lord fulfills his word in judgment. The Lord fulfills his word in diverse circumstances which he appoints to his people. But then thirdly, faithful in his promises of blessing. Faithful in his promises of blessing. Verse 49. When they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua the son of Nun among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim. And he built the city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. The section dealing with the division of the land, or the land west of the Jordan, after they crossed the Jordan, began with Caleb and ends with Joshua. Caleb refers to God's promise to himself and also to Joshua. In fact, in chapter 14 and verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Me and thee, Caleb and Joshua. And now the section that began with Caleb's inheritance ends with the lot of Joshua himself. So that the whole thing begins and ends with these two powerful personal testimonies to faithfulness, faith in the Lord, and the faithfulness of the Lord to them in giving them the appointed inheritance. The contemporaries of these two men had been examples of unbelief. They had perished in the wilderness and could not enter in because of unbelief. And even when we read this section, in between Caleb and Joshua, all is not well. We have the complaints of Ephraim and Manasseh in chapter 17, verse 14 to 18. We looked at that earlier in two or three weeks ago. There are indications that the people as a whole are at best lukewarm. But we have Caleb before, and now Joshua afterwards. The Lord fulfilling his word to them. The Lord gave his word in Numbers chapter 14. And Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. And my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And then later on in verse 30, doubtless, speaking to Moses, ye shall not come into the land concerning which I... Speaking to the father, speaking to the generation. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. These two men had to wait longer than the others who went into the land. They were of great age when they entered in. But in the end, the Lord fulfilled his word. What an encouragement for us. And how much more ground of encouragement we have even than they did. They had the word of the Lord, and so do we. But we have much more of it. And we have in that word the account of how God has now fulfilled his word in sending his own son, in sparing not his own son. Will he not then fulfill all his word and all that he has promised, all the promises in Christ Jesus? Let us seek the Lord's help to be like Caleb and Joshua, not lukewarm like Ephraim and Manasseh, who complained about the obstacles rather than trusting the Lord and pressing forward to the inheritance. Let us trust him for our circumstances on the journey in this world and for persevering grace in this world and for the full inheritance in the world to come. We live in a time where Christ has actually come according to the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Yea, that's the Greek, amen. That's the Hebrew, Aramaic. There, the promises of God are fulfilled in their essence in the coming of Christ, and his coming guarantees and assures us of the fulfillment of all that remains. God has shown himself truthful always, but especially in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ. He fulfills the very core of the promises, and his coming assures us that all else that is promised will be given to us in him. Romans 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The truthfulness of God has been wonderfully demonstrated in the coming of the Lord Jesus, and it will be demonstrated in the fulfillment of all the promises that are in him, and the bestowment of all that God has promised in him upon us. The care of us in our circumstances, the power of his grace in us, and the full inheritance in the glory that is to be revealed. Amen.